The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
This is Jonathan Healy filling in for Pat this week. As a result of concern over a lack of accurate data from the Chinese authorities, the EU has agreed to introduce pre-flight COVID-19 tests for passengers coming from China. With us now is the Irish Times Europe correspondent in Brussels, Naomi O'Leary, and journalist Owen Corry, who we'll get to in just a minute. But Naomi, first of all, this is useful because it gives individual governments a bit of cover. I think the Irish government, amongst those a bit reluctant to introduce a ban for fear of annoying the Chinese.
Hi, good morning. Well, I think what's perhaps noteworthy is that the EU has actually moved slower on this than many countries around the world. So, you know, the United States has already introduced this, the UK, India, South Korea, Japan, Australia, and so on. There's a very long list in pretty much all regions of the world. And so, of course, among the EU member states, there was a little bit of disagreement. The vast majority of them supported introducing these tests, but there were a few naysayers, which meant it took a little bit of time to get this decision together. But now it's been introduced, and the key purpose of it, I think the motivating factor, it's about variants. So it's not just the sort of the level of spread from China, but there's concern that because the data is inadequate, if a new variant that was particularly dangerous, for example, one that was more lethal and could get around the level of immunity people already have from vaccines, that EU countries would have little warning because the data from China isn't reliable, according to the World Health Organization. For example, their death figures just aren't really credible. They've reported less than one death a day for the last month. And that goes against everything that you would expect from the sort of fatality rate of this disease, and also against the reporting of things like overwhelmed crematoriums and hospitals in the country.
A negative COVID test is useful, but it's obviously not foolproof. And given the high levels of disease in China after they abandoned their zero COVID policy, you're not going to catch everybody with that.
I think what's more interesting perhaps than the pre-flight testing requirement is that they've also introduced or recommended that there be random screening of arrivals of passengers from China in airports, and also testing of wastewater from planes. And the motive for this, again, it points to the EU countries want their own data on variants. So where virus is detected in those tests, they'll genetically sequence it and examine it to see what kind of variants are at large in China and see if there's any new ones that are appearing. So it's about making up for the lack of reporting from China.
The WHO were critical of China yesterday. The Chinese countered by saying, we're giving as accurate information as we can. I don't think anyone particularly believes them because they've been reporting fewer than one death a day in a country of a billion people with little vaccination that's there. So it's understandable that Europe would have taken this action. How have the Chinese received it?
There was a press conference yesterday in which their foreign ministry said that, you know, they were always transparent in handing over data and spoke out against discriminatory measures being taken against countries. They also sort of hit out at the United States in particular, accusing the US of politicizing the COVID-19 pandemic. It's worth noting, though, that China itself already has the same requirement in place for passengers that arrive from other countries into China. So if you want to travel to China right now, you too must bear a negative COVID-19 test that was taken less than 48 hours before your flight. So although there's been warnings of retaliation or, you know, an angry response, they already have this in place themselves for incoming passengers.
Let's speak to Owen Corry, who's a travel journalist and a regular on the programme. Owen, good morning.
Good morning, Jonathan.
Do we have direct flights from China into Dublin at the moment?
No, we used to have four direct flights. There was talk of restoring one for this summer. It didn't happen. So really, it's a matter that impacts us in a sideways way. It's going to impact who's going to implement the issue, the very complicated issue of boarding someone who doesn't have a PCR test, checking at the gate. Listeners will know, need no introduction to what happened over the last 2 years. It falls back on the airlines. Our two major airlines don't fly that distance. But what really, where it really comes back to then is the hub airports that our large Chinese community do to commute for to and from China. There isn't a lot of other traffic at the moment, and the number of flights is about a quarter of what it was pre-COVID for reasons already alluded to there by Naomi. But people travelling through Paris and Heathrow at the moment will have to already undergo those tests, and Frankfurt will be the major hub airport affected within Europe. We're not sure what happens with the three Middle Eastern hubs that a lot of Chinese people use, Abu Dhabi, Doha and Dubai, and also Istanbul, which is a big hub for Ireland. So what the aviation industry is waiting for is a little bit of clarification, first of all, on what's required, what countries are acquiring it, and who really is in charge here. Is it the ECDH? Is it Andrea Arnon's office in Stockholm? Or is it the EU Commissioner for Health, or the new group that made the recommendation yesterday? All of this will probably become clearer in the next few days, but it's another headache for the aviation industry, which is not just hugely based in Ireland, but a lot of EU, a lot of the executives of major airlines worldwide, and the director general of IATA, the major aviation body in the world, is Willie Walsh at the moment. A lot of Irish people concerned.
Yeah. At the moment, are there any restrictions on anyone coming into this country right now from any of the destinations that do fly here or you can get a boat from?
There are no international restrictions coming in for, because we don't have direct flights to some of the countries. And Naomi alluded to the flights in the direction of China, Hong Kong, places like that do have restrictions. But all of that applies through a hub airport. And that's where the action is going to be when we work out what tests are required. It's going to be the airline that will be responsible for delivering people with the correct papers and with the correct tests done to an Irish airport, but they will have passed through somewhere else. And that's where the serious questions will be asked.
Mm. There is only one mask mandate out there at the moment. I think it's public transport in Spain. So if you're flying to Spain, you probably have to wear a mask on the aircraft. Other than that, there's nothing really that you need to do.
Not on the aircraft, but you know, the one that really impacts, and the Spanish tourism figures from Ireland are going to show about 2 million visits from Ireland to Spain last year when they come out in a day or two. That's the one that impacts most on us. It's always worth remembering, Jonathan, that we still have those COVID certs, that digital COVID certificate on our phone, not really being examined and required, but that could change quickly. And do bring masks with you, because public transport in Spain is a very good example. But if you have to go to a pharmacy in any country in Europe, as you do in Ireland, you will need a mask. So keep those masks. COVID haven't gone away. And the other thing is keep your certs and your documentation, because things could change very quickly. What we see, and yesterday's discussions show it, that politicians are much more enthusiastic about introducing restrictions than the medical authorities are. The ECDH would have issued advice which was quite contrary to what emerged in Brussels yesterday. So as this sort of conversation continues about COVID, certainly worth keeping your documentation up to date and keep that bundle of masks traveling with you. Very important as well, when you're checking in, you are asked, have you any symptoms of COVID? It's a yes or a no answer. If you answer no, and the real answer is yes, there could be repercussions should there be an outbreak on the flight. So be absolutely upfront about that. And the last thing that has to be said about travel, travel insurance has never been as important, because the airline will not act as an insurer of last resort. If you have to pull the flight because you've got COVID, you're not going to get your fare back. But that's what travel insurance is for.
Naomi, just back to you briefly, if we can. Europe and China, the relations are testy at the best of times. And the European Union has to be conscious, and the Swedish presidency, I'm sure, are very conscious of this, that the last thing they want to do is push them in the direction of Russia, given the situation in Ukraine. So it's a bit of a balancing act. And it's unusual in that context that the advice was so strong, particularly as Owen says, the ECDC is pushing in a different direction.
I think it's worth repeating that, you know, this came after the US, Australia, countries in all regions of the world had already introduced this decision. So in a way, Europe was actually sort of slower to act on this. So I'm not sure that Europe will be the focus of anger, any anger that might come from China. And also the fact that they already have these tests in place themselves somewhat undermines any kind of upset that there might be about that. I think it's worth pointing out that what we heard from the WHO is, you know, they said it's understandable given the lack of data that countries would take an action like this. And the emergencies chief, Mike Ryan, described it as, you know, not an extreme measure and not a restriction either, just a requirement for travel. So it's all to do with the sort of epidemiological picture at the moment, which is we basically keep having new waves because the virus is very good at mutating. And then the new variant, it manages to reinfect people who have some level of immunity to the previous strain. So you have this constant mutation of the virus. And because the Chinese population is so big, with 1.4 billion people, there's just many, many opportunities for it to evolve. And that's concerning in the context of a lack of data, as I mentioned.
Okay, we'll leave it there for now. Naomi O'Leary, Irish Times European correspondent, travel journalist Owen Corrie, thank you both very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.